Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Let us pray. O God, who is the light and the word, open our eyes and our ears so that we may see and hear truly who you are and whose we are. In Christ's name, amen. From Mark 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, that's Jesus and the disciples, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches so that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Every Sunday, on some level, the preacher has to decide how to navigate between the soft, popular shore that most people want and the harder, more prophetic side that the Bible, I think, most wants to say. And if the preacher stays too close to the flow on one side, singing only the praises and the alleluias, everybody seems to be fine with that, mostly upbeat, happy. But if the preacher swerves more closely over to the prophetic shoreline, where the current is faster and more difficult, then the preacher will be taking his or her chances, and the people might walk out and say, "Bless his heart," as they go find another church to attend. This is true for every Sunday, by the way, but two Sundays especially: Palm Sunday and Easter. Both promise full churches, great music, lots of children, new clothes, the brightness of springtime, March Madness, and the upcoming Masters golf tournament. What's not joyful about all that? Our children coming down the aisle waving palms like swords as they sing Hosanna. It's a beautiful thing. And then the preacher gets up in the pulpit and throws a wet blanket over the whole gathering as he moves from the palm part of Palm Sunday to the passion part of Palm Sunday. It says it in your bulletin, Palm/Passion Sunday. For the preacher, the current runs strong just to float on top of the joy and let everyone leave feeling great. It's a parade. What's not to like? But Jesus knew when he got on that colt that that parade was the beginning of his downfall. into suffering, rejection, abandonment, crucifixion, that makes up the universally painful story of what Holy Week is about. So the preacher has to decide which side of the river, palms or passion, will he navigate. Now I see this as less true here because you've had strong, great preachers and teachers of integrity and truth who do not always preach or teach the feel-good sermon. And many of you also are wise enough to know that life is difficult and suffering apparent. And you want more than just to float effortlessly down the calm waters of feel-good Sundays. Well, most times. Reminds me of a wedding I did in Atlanta a while back. The young bride and groom were so giddy and happy about their marriage, and they expected everything in their marriage to be perfect, and they expected their wedding to be perfect too. And I tried to explain to them that too high expectations will only lead to a sense of disappointment. And then later at the reception, the mother walks up to me after a couple of gin and tonics, I guess. And she takes me aside and with a sad face, she says, "I have a bad feeling that this daughter of mine and her young husband are on the road to disaster." She went on to say, "My own marriage has been difficult. Our marriage has not been a great witness to our daughter, but we stayed in it. But I don't know for sure that these two young people will have the fiber and the faith it takes." All I knew to say to her was, "Well, you know, that makes you no different than any other parent who watches their children get married. No different than every other good parent of two young people who absolutely have no idea what it takes to be married. But they figure it out. What comes with marriage, oh, it's Hosanna in the highest. All of it at the wedding. And then after about, I don't know, take your pick, 2 months, 2 days, towel still on the floor, dishes not in the dishwasher, nobody takes the trash out, doesn't come home on time, whatever the case. Mom, this is harder than I thought." Now the job of the preacher when doing marriage counseling is to try to prepare the couple for just that occasion. And just as well, the job of the preacher on Palm Sunday is to prepare the congregation for the occasion of Holy Week. It's not sweetness and light from Palm Sunday to Easter. Holy Week is a dark, hard witness of the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus knew that, which is why in Mark's gospel, Jesus seems to set up the whole parade. He's in charge of it all. He apparently gets to the town in Bethany and tells them he needs a colt, works it out with the owner, and says, "I'll be sending two of my disciples to pick it up." And they gave him the password, "My master needs it, he'll return it when he's through." And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was preparing to ride into Jerusalem through the east gate, which is the gate that the Messiah was expected to come into, the second Messiah, King David the First. The second Messiah would come into and free the people of Israel from the powers of the Roman Empire, bringing them back to where they were before, making Israel great again as they were under King David. That was the plan, the expectation. Jesus, in his brilliant way, instead of taking one soft side of the current or one completely hard side of the current, turns this procession that he is making into Jerusalem into a parable. Actually, it's a parody. A parody. A tragic comedy meant to expose this false narrative of the messianic hope that a strong military Messiah will come in riding on a big old horse and vanquish their enemies. And knowing the darkness of that expectation, Jesus chooses instead to come in and parody that on a colt, the foal of a donkey, a young colt, not even a full donkey. So as Jesus and his disciples prepare for this and bring the donkey to Jesus, Jesus, remembering Zechariah's prophecy, "See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, lowly, and riding on a donkey," he gets on top of it, and they start the parade, and the adults throw their cloaks down on the ground, expecting that Jesus will be that coming Messiah to save Israel. And the children lay their branches down, and they all sing Hosanna. Have you ever witnessed something that is so completely weird, you don't even see it? It's so out of kilter and out of what you expect to happen that it passes by you and you miss it. In 1998, there was a study done. It's called the Inattentional Blindness Study. They got a bunch of people together to watch this television screen, and their job was to count how many blue balls and how many red balls there were being passed back and forth between the two groups. And as they were counting all this, they dressed a man up in a gorilla outfit who walked through the middle of them on the screen, and then they asked the people who were watching this screen, "What did you see?" "Well, I saw that the red ball passed 12 times and the blue ball passed 13 times." "Is that all you saw?" "Yes, that's all I saw." They completely missed the gorilla walking across the screen. The people who didn't miss it, by the way, and this is a shout out to all of us who have some ADD, are the people with ADD. Apparently they could do more than one thing at a time, or that may be the problem. Whatever the case, they noticed the gorilla. When Jesus rode into town on that puny donkey colt, all those people gathered there expected to see the coming warrior Messiah on a stallion. Only because of their cognitive dissonance, it didn't occur to them that he was on a colt. They had to wonder on some unconscious level, where's the big horse? All warriors come in on a stallion. Isn't that what he's supposed to be riding? But desperate they were for someone to save them, they were willing to stay blind to the truth. The emperor has no clothes, the story goes, which is the whole point of the parable and the parody that Jesus is making. Jesus is the emperor. And when it comes to power, Jesus has no clothes. In the end, he would have no clothes. It was this tragic comedy, this parody of the whole sordid show to expect for God to come down and save us through power and might. God, what cognitive dissonance we have. We can live with so much when the false hope of expectation overrides the painful truth of reality. And we keep doubling down, convinced that things will change. This is what feeds gamblers and politicians and feel-good religion people. The truth is that it's painful, too painful to face sometimes. This truth gets drowned out by our delusional hope that we will finally get what we most want to happen, And there will be no more suffering, and no more death, and no more hardship, and no more hurt. And Jesus, riding on a colt, puts an end to these delusions by not being a military Messiah, but something more like Charlie Chaplin, rolling into town, not on a Humvee, but walking and tripping over a banana peel on the sidewalk. It would be a week before the whole gig was up, 5 days to be sure, when they finally saw that this one they sang Hosanna to, the coming Messiah, did not come with an F-16 in his pocket. He did not come as a cowboy, but as the parody of a cowboy. A lone man on the back of an ass with no magic up his sleeve and no coalition in his pocket. And then when they started to see this, each succeeding day in Jerusalem, their shouts of Hosanna turned to crucify. Even his disciples abandoned him. In spite of our dissonance, our want of a big horse savior is a truth we have to face about ourselves. Who doesn't want that? But it also needs to come with the awareness that the kind of power Jesus brings is usually the opposite of what we think we want. For the only power Jesus brings is the true power that can change the world, and that is the power of God's love and forgiveness made manifest and incarnate in the life and death of Jesus Christ. There is no greater power than the power of one who gives up himself for the sake of love and forgiveness. And when the world in 5 days would abandon Jesus, his disciples would leave him, he would be tortured, he would put on a purple robe, and they would put a thorn of crowns on his head, parodying Jesus as King of the Jews as they nailed the sign up on his cross. Those Roman soldiers laughed, and those who passed by laughed. The chief priests in the temple mocked him and laughed, and everybody laughed. Yeah, King of the Jews. But those who knew him best, the women, they didn't laugh. And God. No, they wept. They wept. On this feel-good Palm Sunday, I know I have strayed to the unsafe side of the current. And as we go home to eat or to the club or wherever we go, we want to be warmed by this day. And I know I could have preached a story about how good it is and just stopped at the parade part. But for 40 years of preaching this sermon, I can't do that, you see. Because I have to preach the comic tragedy that it is. The tragedy that God's own Son gave his life for our sake. The tragedy of that. And the comedy that when we discover that gift is for us, it will bring us out of the deepest, darkest hole of despair you can imagine. The tragedy and the comedy that that gift is for us, riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. It'll make you cry. And then it'll make you laugh. Oh God, help us not to fall for the illusion that our Savior will fix everything on his high horse.
And help us not ride around on our high horses either, but instead keep our eye on the one who comes humbly, sitting on the foal of an ass, who comes bringing forth the greatest power the world has ever known, your love for us, even unto the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.